Please be seated. Our meditation today is in Psalm 90.
Psalm 90, New King James Version. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So this is the oldest recorded psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like to sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Jehovah, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of Jehovah our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Now this psalm, I don't know if you've noticed, last week I don't remember or think Phil mentioned it, but the last psalm that we did was 89, and that ended book 3 in the book of Psalms. That last verse there, 52, "Blessed be Jehovah forevermore, amen and amen," was not just the closing of the psalm, it was the closing of that book, or that section of it as well. Here in Psalm 90, we start a new book, we start a new section, and you'll see the character of the psalms change somewhat. Here in Psalm 90, the editors of, at least my edition of the New King James Version, entitle it "The Eternity of God and Man's Frailty." And that tells part of the picture. It's not a bad, light summary of what the psalm's about. I would also add in there man's dependence upon God, which is really part of it. And this psalm is sad. But it also, if you think of the context in which it was written, and the meaning of it, it's both sad. And the last bit of it is really joyous, truly, truly joyous. Remember, this was written by Moses, the man of God, the prophet in the Old Testament who rescued the nation of Israel through God's work, but as God's instrument, took them out of the house of bondage and set up the commonwealth at the time of Israel. He didn't. He moved them into the area and made them ready to set up the commonwealth of Israel, who gave them the law from God, from Mount Sinai, and gave them the written covenant that they had heard before, but the nation had forgotten. And they spent the years in Egypt as slaves at the end of it, as victims of genocide. Then they came out and they suffered on the road. And then they sinned and they spent the next 40 years wandering in the desert. And then just as they're getting ready to go into the land, we hear this song. Oh, I forgot, they had the sin of the golden calf also. And the great reaving that God sent among the people. So Moses had seen hard times, but he knew the God of the covenant was the God of the covenant. And he had a reason for what he was doing, and he had given promises to the nation. The psalm starts with, "Lord, you have," and it says, yeah, "Lord," and this just is Adonai, or Master. "You have been our dwelling place in all generations." Now think of what that means. They're getting ready, they're thinking about going to the land of promise, to the land that God will provide for their people to live in forever. And he starts this psalm with saying, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place." Even when they were residing in Egypt and as slaves, they lived in the Lord because they were the children of Abraham and heirs of the covenant. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And here again we see, contrary to most other mythologies of the time, this, you know, using the technical term mythology, we have a creator God here. Not one who is also one of the created, but greatest among them. But one who is transcendent, who's above and different than the creation. Moses speaking through, or God speaking through Moses, says, "You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Though we were meant and created to live eternally, we see that God has called us back to Himself in destruction and in death for sin. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." Now, I want to pull your attention to just one thing. For the numerologically inclined, for those of you who believe in numerology and that sort of thing, you see here 1,000 years mentioned. Now, do you think 1,001 years isn't like a watch in the night to God? That's longer and is obviously a different thing to His mind. Well, it's not. 1,000 years means a really long time. So don't get tied up in 1,000 years. Let's do the math. Well, it must be that Jesus is coming, whatever. You can't do that. The same as 1,000 hills. It just means a bunch. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. And in the morning, they are like grass which grows up, flourishes, grows up, withers, and is cut down. And here we see the temporary nature of man in this world. Now, to the temporary nature, because of sin that has come in. And the wrath of God is upon the sons of Adam. And we will die. It's something, especially you young ones, especially, you know, teenagers and younger, you're going to hopefully get old first, but you're going to die. And when you get older and you face your mortality, I've got to say, these last few months, I've been able to do that with a brilliance that I haven't been able to summon before. You see that it is just like a breath. And all the things you think you're building are nothing. In 50 years, somebody might remember your name, but they won't remember what you look like. And in 100, you're just name in a book. And if we think we're more than that, if we think we're as God, if we think that we matter in and of ourselves, we're missing something. And that is, God matters, and He lasts, and we don't. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath, and we finish our years like a sigh. God forgives His people. God saves His people. But we see on earth what's called the temporal penalty of sin working itself out. We suffer, we die. We suffer for our sins, and we have to pay some measure of those as a discipline, but also as a form of punishment. Not salvific. It doesn't work in our salvation. But God has seen fit to put that upon us. He's limited our years. Remember, after the flood, the life of mankind dwindled down and down and down. In the days of Moses, they fit where they pretty much stayed. 70, 80 years is about as good as you can hope for. But their boast is only labor and sorrow, and that's the curse that fell upon us for Adam's sin. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, the fear of you, and your wrath? And so the wisdom starts in verse 12. So teach us to number our days, so we may gain a heart of wisdom. To number our days, to make use of our days, to understand our lives and what they're for. They're not playing video games. It's not for having a good time or whatever, you know, it's to be useful and to do good things. Not for our sake, but for the sake of our Lord and for our people, and we'll see that here in a bit. Satisfy, how long, return, O Lord, how long? And there's that question again and again throughout the Scriptures. Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us and the years in which we have seen evil. Bless us in measure for the affliction you put upon us. And we see the nation of Israel were blessed for the time that they had suffered going in also. Then they messed up again. Now 16 and 17 are the heart of the psalm. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of Jehovah our God be upon us. That's what's good in this life, is to do good for the people of God and to let God do good for you. And establish the work of our hand for us. Yes, establish the work of our hand. We don't work to establish our name. We shouldn't work to establish our reputation or even our clan or anything of the sort. But the work of our hands that the Christian is called to in this world is to bless the people of God, have children, bring people into the church, be evangelists, help the church to grow, both spiritually and numerically, to work for the kingdom of God, to disciple the nations, to take the gospel out to the world. And we ask God to do that, establish that. That's our legacy, to be a faithful servant of God. Then in the new world, the new earth, after the resurrection, the final resurrection, then this won't be the case. Your life is a flying as a dust in the wind, is a good way to put it. Will no longer be the case, and we'll live the life we're meant to. But for now, let that be our prayer, that God will establish the work of our hands. And let us discipline ourselves to make the work of our hands be His work and not our own.